Well, okay, saints. Do you know what the harlot is? What's a good identification for the harlot? I think a lot of people are confused on that. It's usually somebody else's religion, you know. But there are members of the harlot everywhere, including around you and me. And how do we identify them? Well, here's a revelation given to Bill Steenland, which I've stuck a lot of notes in, and I think it will help. And we called it Overcoming the Seducing Harlot. And Bill received this on the 26th of this month. He said, I dreamed I was in a room sitting on a bed with all of the local UBM members in the room. And his note is UBM abiding in the rest. There were two beds in the dream. Me and a bunch of other people were sitting on this bed, in other words, resting. I was watching a television, and he gives Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And he said, I was watching with a bunch of Mastercraft boats in the water. Mastercraft here is a play on words. Bill said, the master, Jesus, and his craft or works, right? And Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that awesome? That is the best description of what salvation is all about, folks. It's not up to you and me. It's up to you and me to believe God and let him do the works in us. Praise be to God. And Bill said boats represent the spiritual abode of Christ in John 15 and the ark of safety before judgment. Very important that we're in the ark before things start breaking apart. I mean, that's not something that's just coming down the road. It's something that's happening all around us now. In the natural, Bill's job is to build these boats. And through the Lord's work, his people can build an ark for themselves and their families to live above the waters of the curse, represented by the flood. And the flood represents the water of the Word, but don't you know the water of the Word is also the curse? Because the curse in Deuteronomy 28 is mentioned there, plus everything that you disobey there can bring the curse on you. So we will build an ark, of course, by coming into agreement with the Lord and knowing what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. This is all important things for us. And Hebrews 11 and 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world. See, I mean, the fact that one man could build the ark condemned the world. And it goes on to say, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He believed God, like Abraham, and he acted on that. Oh, praise the Lord. And putting the word of God, Jesus, into your household is building an ark to save them, isn't it? Can you see the spiritual type there? Amen. So it's very important. You know, I know that you and I both have people in our families that don't listen to us. And that's okay. You just gracefully share tidbits here and there, and eventually you'd be surprised how it gets in there. Amen? And Bill said the boats were speeding on the surface of the ocean. And he says the sea of human wickedness. Yeah, the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues the ocean represents, right? And he called it overcoming the beast nature. Well, it's true, you know, the water, reveals the beast nature. It also reveals Christ's nature. And that's Christ and Antichrist. And Jesus said there's only two men in the earth, so you're either above the water or you're beneath the water. And if you're walking after the arm of the flesh, you know that you're beneath the water. You are under the curse. For if we walk after the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we shall live. Paul said in Romans 8, right? And then he said, but they had the shipping cover still on. In other words, the boats still had the shipping covers on them, speeding on the water. He said that I put on them at work. Yeah. His idea was this represented the blood covering. And also, I had a thought that a life hidden in Christ from the world, because the container was still on the boat, right? They don't know that people are in the boat, that Noah's building an ark. They don't know, you know. This has to be revealed to them. Some people just think you're crazy, right? Didn't they just think Noah was crazy building that boat where nobody had ever seen water? Yeah, I would think so. So it has to be a revelation from God, right? Amen. And Bill writes John 6:28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now what does that mean? No one gets grace to do the works of God without believing what Jesus said. Boy, this makes it very important that we believe the Word. Jesus is the Word. We must believe the Word. It makes it very important. Noah believed God. Abraham believed God. You know, they received grace because of that. And we, the same thing. You know, Abraham believed God could give him a son. And I think that probably represents fruit. Do you believe God will give you fruit? Well, he already has through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So we believe the gospel. And believing the word, obviously, puts you in the ark. Right? And Bill said they were speeding very fast, and there were about four or five of them. And his thought was that four represents trials and five grace. Grace and trials. That's what you need, right? Amen. Grace also puts you in the boat and above the curse, above the waters of the curse. Amen. Remember what God told Moses, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And it was a blessing if people obeyed his word, and it was a curse if they didn't. So, okay. He said, I turned and I saw Brother David and a couple of other people all sitting on the second bed. Okay, so that's about three people on the second bed. Possibly the two beds are corporate ministries of the bride and man-child. I think that's probably true. And I asked, hey, what are you guys watching? And David said, we are watching Daniel 17. Daniel 17. Now, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out. What's he hiding in Daniel 17? Well, Bill said, I believe 17 in this case represents the victory of the man-child over the beast through faith, calling the things which are not as though they were, and walking by natural sight, not by natural sight, but by the spiritual vision and spiritual sight that Jesus gives his disciples, who are the elect. Yes, and he gave Matthew 13:16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Oh, saints, there are so many out there who have been Christians in the past, but no longer have eyes to see and ears to hear. But it was the same in Matthew 13. Jesus spoke of the Jews in his time when he had started his man-child ministry, how that there were so many of them that had no eyes nor ears. In the spirit, God had reprobated them. Well, that's where we're headed right now, folks. In fact, it's happening as we speak. Some people have no eyes or ears for the Word, and as such, they cannot be in the ark. All right? And it doesn't bother them because they have no conscience or consciousness of God. Then I turned back and the video was over. David didn't use the word chapter, and there is no chapter 17 in the book of Daniel, but there are many significant verse 17s there. Yeah, I'll mention a few of them to you here. The first mention of 17 in the Word is when Joseph was 17 years old and was persecuted and hated by his brethren. But then, he, through the process of preservation and victory, through going through trials and troubles, which I believe is what 17 represents, through that process, he ended up becoming their head, their judge, and their provider. Pretty interesting. Now, Daniel records many 17 moments. Learning and wisdom and vision and dreams preserve one in Daniel 1 and 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Amen. How many times has that saved people, delivered people, preserved them through trouble? Amen. The 17s in Daniel are very distinct. Corporate prayer was called for to preserve from the beast destruction in Daniel 2 and 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his companions should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So 17, I mean, Joseph didn't perish, and Daniel and his companions didn't perish. And there were reasons. There are reasons why we are preserved through trials, troubles, and tribulations, you know. We have to pay attention to the Word. Daniel's full of that. The three Hebrews had their 17 moments too, like preservation in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3 and 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he did too, didn't he? And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Wow, the 17s are holding pretty true there, you know. Knowledge of the sovereignty of God preserves many, like in Daniel 4 and 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Yeah, pretty neat. Pretty neat. And it goes on. Faith to be preserved in the lion's den in Daniel 6 and 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Well, hallelujah, you know. Daniel trusted God, and there was no blame found in him, he said. And so the beast had no authority over him. But the beast did have authority over those who persecuted and lied about him. And so it will be, friends, let me tell you, in the very near future, you're going to see the people who have lied and schemed to overthrow the man-child, like the dragon devours the man-child, and they will be fed to the lions. And they have no immunity. And also Daniel received visions to preserve us from the beasts in the end times. Daniel 8 and 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Amen. And prayer for grace to preserve saves in Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine. That means give grace. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Amen. Prayer for grace. Weakness in our fleshly ability preserves because God's power is made perfect in our weakness, like in Daniel 10:17. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For, as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there touched me again one like unto the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So the Bible says God gives power to the weak. His power is made perfect in weakness. Some people don't know that secret to having God's power. Paul said, I glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whoa! Man, think about that. That's one of those secrets to power. And it's very, very important. So, and these things will preserve us. These little hints at preservation, which is, I believe, what 17 represents. Preservation through the midst of evil, through the midst of trial, trouble, tribulation, persecution by the beast, etc., 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 right? And knowledge that the beast and those who abide in his body only corrupts preserves us. First of all, you got to know what the beast is. Most people don't know what the beast is. They think it's this handsome guy coming down the road, you know? Anyway, and this is in Daniel 11:17. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. Yep, the beast is out. Now, let me identify the beast. It's people, all people of the world who walk in the flesh. And as you know, the mark of the beast, or the identification of the beast, is the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. That is the mark in the forehead, the mind of the flesh, and in the hand, the works of the flesh. That's the mark. So therefore, and it really doesn't matter whether you call yourself a Christian or go to church. It don't make any difference. If you walk in the flesh, you must die. That's what the Lord says. So this identification of the beast is very important for preserving people. Amen. And Bill then said, then there was a woman. I believe that this is the harlot. Next to me, sitting on the bed. You know, there are people around us that the Lord is going to separate from us. And the reason is because they're members of the harlot. You know, he said, let both grow together until the harvest. And then he was going to gather up the tares first and burn them in fire, and et cetera, et cetera. So his people would shine forth in the kingdom of their Father, right? Amen. She was trying to get off the bed, representing the harlot among us being revealed by turning from faith in the Word that brings the rest. You know, many people turn away from the rest. They don't exercise any faith. They fall back into their own works to save themselves and their own mind and their own thinking instead of renewed mind of Christ by the Word of God. There are people falling out of the rest. And why is that? Because they're members of the harlot. She had to get around me first, and she tried to pull me off the bed. Well, I can tell you something about Bill. Bill is a determined disciple of the Lord. He's being used here to show the temptations we all go through and have to overcome. We go through tests. God tests everybody. You know, at the end of this thing, God knows who's going to serve Him and who's not. But there's going to be proof. I mean, that's the way a law is. You break it, you know what it is, you break it, you lose. So, I mean, people are proving whether they are members of the harlot or members of the body of Christ. They're proving that. The harlot is not just somebody else's religion. I've asked people about that. Who is this harlot in Revelation, you know? And they'll always say, well, one lower than them, right? That's it, you know. Whatever religion that they consider to be lower than them, that's the harlot, you know. But it's all apostate religion. If you want to prove that, just look in the book of Revelation 17. You see that the woman comes in riding on, what? The seven-head, ten-horned beast. Well, it couldn't be what some people say, just the Catholic Church. Or, if you're a little bit further up the food chain, you might look back down and see some of these dead religions below you. Say, that's them down there. No, it couldn't be that, because let me tell you, this harlot has been riding that beast since the very first head, seven heads, Egypt. Now, there wasn't any Catholic Church in Egypt. So that just shows you that that's a false doctrine. But what she is a corporate body of the harlot from the beginning until the end. And all religions, all apostate religions are a part of that. All of them. And by the way, this woman is the mother of the harlots. The mother in that Revelation 17, she's said to be the mother of the harlots. So that's even deeper, because she is the corporate body of all of the children. All of the children are in this mother harlot, right? So we're talking about apostate religion since the beginning unto the end. But the harlot is a frame of mind that through fleshly temptation a person turns from the seed of the Word and their husband, who is Jesus, to receive the seed, words, lusts of Satan in their own thoughts, because the seed is a thought, right? It is a word. It's in your mind and in your mouth. So this is what identifies the body of the harlot. Those who fall to the harlot always try to drag others, just like she was trying to drag Bill off the bed, right? Try to drag others with them. Because demon spirits drive them to seek company, to glory in their flesh. In other words, I'm not wrong. Look how many people believe with what I believe, you know? That won't work when you're before the Lord. The biggest churches out there are the most reprobate. All right, so that doesn't work, but it makes people feel comfortable. You know, the harlot Jezebel is rebellion and selfish ambition that seeks authority over others, even though it's not given to them by the Lord. Yeah. So we see here that it's people that ignore the Word of God and give in to the lusts and the thoughts of Satan, which is the seed of a foreigner. She's a harlot because she's receiving the seed of a foreigner, not her husband. Okay. Bill said, the dream ended with me half on and half off the bed and about to get back on. What he meant was all the way on. As she got up and walked away, she gave up, right? She couldn't get him off the bed. And so she gave up and walked away. Well, you stand the test too, saints. The harlot represents those that turn away from faith and obedience to the Word, which is the seed, right? And it's rest. The Word is your rest. When you believe the Word, you rest from your works. You receive your gift from God, whatever that promise says, right? And instead of this, they turn to their lusts. They receive a seed from Satan and his minions. They turn to their lusts. And she tries but fails to get the chosen off the bed of rest. Those who escape the strange woman, or harlot, in the Scriptures, through respect for the Word, are blessed. In Proverbs, like chapters 2, chapters 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, all speak of this, the harlot, the strange woman. And these parables in Proverbs use a natural harlot as a type of the spiritual harlot that tempts God's people with their lusts. You know how Jesus used corn and planting seeds and all that was spiritual. It wasn't natural, it was spiritual. Well, Proverbs points out a physical harlot in order to show you what a spiritual harlot is. For instance, Proverbs 2 and 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee," and verse 7 says, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity." Then what? Why does he say that? He said, "My son, if you will receive my words," his seed, right? "Then you'll understand these things. Yea, every good path, for wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall watch over thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things." In other words, another seed. "Who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." See, you're going to be judged by the word as to whether you're in the harlot or in the body of Christ. Guess who's in the body of Christ? Christ, the word, is in the body of Christ. All right? "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman." What is it that delivers you from the strange woman? Putting the word, the seed of God in your heart, the seed of Jesus Christ in your heart. Because other thoughts come, other words come from Satan to try to drag you off that bed. And you have to cast them down. And he goes on to say, "Even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words." There it is, the false seed, right? "That forsaketh the friend of her youth." In other words, she was born again in spirit and never went on to manifest it in soul, right? "Forsaketh the friend of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God." This is what identifies the harlot now. I'm just showing you what the scripture says. I'm not making it up. "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither do they attain unto the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." There, look at that. The upright dwell in the land, but the perfect remain in it. Everybody doesn't remain in the promised land. They don't like the promises of God. They go back to their own ways, you know. And, of course, they remain in it because they will not get drug off the bed of the land of rest, right? "But the wicked shall be cut off from the land." Okay, wicked is what? Those who are contrary to the word. "The wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it." Treacherous. There are many treacherous people out there. And of course, this is happening now. It's the test that separates the goats from the sheep and the tares from the wheat, right? It's happening now, saints. "Draw near unto God. Put your trust in Him. Ask Him to draw you into the Word. Put the seed of the Word into your heart until it overcomes everything else in there, which is nothing but the seed of man. If you're not for me, you're against me." Against is what? Anti. If you're not Christ, you're Antichrist, right? If you're not a part of His body, you're a part of the beast body. And we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is putting the Word in there and acting on the Word, as we just saw a few minutes ago. Proverbs 5 and 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom. Incline thine ear to my understanding." Well, this is important. It's always the key, notice, to not being trapped by the harlot. It's always the key. "Attend unto my wisdom. Incline thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest preserve discretion." and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop honey. Oh, yeah, they're sweet to the flesh, aren't they? And her mouth is smoother than oil. Oh, there are slick talkers out there, man. Be careful what you listen to. Don't forget, evil companionships corrupt good morals, the Bible says. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on Sheol, so that she finds not the level path of life. Her ways are unstable, and she knoweth it not. Notice that. She knoweth it not. You can't convince somebody who's fallen for the harlot that they're missing it. They're too self-righteous. You can point out the word. Doesn't make any difference. They ignore you. Totally ignore you. And especially when they've been demonized, like in these movements that we've been seeing, which have come to separate the wheat from the tares. That false revival movement, the factious movement, other false doctrinal movements. I'm not trying to leave anything out, but and she knoweth it not. They don't even know it. Like Jesus said when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, he sent the beast to judge them. Now, therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. How do you do that? Departing not from the words of my mouth. And come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. I can see that. Lest strangers be filled with thy strength, and thy labors be in the house of an alien. Many people are laboring in the house of aliens, you know. And when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Neither have I obeyed the voice of my teachers. I've seen a lot of people that went away and God totally took all the teachings out of their mind. And how did he do it? He let the demons in them do it. They just totally forgot about it or scoffed at it. That's what happened when the Lord turns you over to a reprobate mind. Nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me. Yep. I was well nigh in all evil in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. And what does God do about that? Well, if he wants to preserve the congregation, he has to kick people like that out. And he's certainly doing that. And Proverbs chapter 6, I'll start in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We have to be corrected by the word. People that won't be corrected by the word, they're fools. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Word says. A fool hates correction. To keep thee from the evil woman. So what do you say? The commandment is a lamp to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the foreigner's tongue. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, notice that the foreigner is the harlot, right? On account of a harlot, a man is brought to a piece of bread. In other words, poverty stricken in the kingdom, if not in the world. You understand what I'm saying? There are people who are poverty stricken in the kingdom. They have nothing of value. Notice, when a person turns from the commandments of the word to follow their lust, they are members of the harlot. You can't identify a church. There may be people passing through there. I passed through a couple of them. And I didn't stick either because I had my eyes open to the Word and it just delivered me. You know, you can't say somebody that's walking by faith through those things are harlots just because they're in that building. But, on the other hand, you can't say everybody that's in your building is not a harlot because they're in your building. God says what... You know, God told us what he was going to do when we came to this area. He told us he was going to weed people out from us. He was going to use the demons to do it, and he did it. Praise be to God. And some of them will repent and come back, and we pray for that. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. First thing you do when you find somebody that doesn't want to keep the word, they're rebelling against the word. You show them the word and they just ignore you. It's like it goes over their head and it doesn't faze them. They don't even answer you sometimes. They just ignore you. You know, first thing you know is that is a member of the harlot right there. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Notice, wisdom and understanding keep you from the strange woman. That, of course, is the seed of God that keeps you from the seed of the devil. Right? From the foreigner that flattereth with her words. She flattereth with her words. Flattereth what? Your flesh. If it's appealing to the flesh and not crucifying to the flesh, guess where it came from? The harlot. And of course, they want to capture you with those words too. They want to get you out of the rest. You know, the rest is the place of safety, folks. The Word of God manifested in you and your obedience to it is what's going to save you. You are in the ark through that and that alone. 4. At the window of my house I looked forth through my lattice, and I beheld among the simple ones. It's always the simple ones. I'm talking about spiritually simple-minded. They're not, they don't know that God has written these words to keep them from destruction. They look for some religion. The harlot, of course, represents lots of religion, you know, but nothing that's in obedience to the Word of God. And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. You know, people do this in darkness. Things that go on in your mind, they're in darkness, you know. If you can't afford to speak the things that you believe in front of disciples of Christ, it's in darkness. If you're thinking things that are contrary to what a disciple should believe, you're in darkness, right? If you're agreeing with the things that are, you're in darkness. If you're walking by faith and believing the things of the promises of God, you're separated from the harlot. You're kept, right? And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and wily of heart. Oh, they're very deceptive, these people. Very deceptive. They're there to deceive you, to drag you off the bed of the rest. They got their own bed of the lust of the flesh, right? So these harlot spirits seduce with the lusts of the flesh. That's what they do, and that's what the parable is all about here. It is a parable, by the way. It's not just a letter. And verse 11, she is clamorous and willful. Well, that's a people. They're bold, they're brash, they're not humble, not submissive to the word. They go their own way and do their own thing. Jezebel is a good example of the harlot because she doesn't obey her husband and she takes authority over him, etc. So they're clamorous and they're willful. They know what they want and they're going after it. They don't care what the scripture says. Her feet abide not in her house, meaning not in the house of the husband, Jesus, the Word of God, right? Ooh. Now she is in the streets, now in the broad places. In other words, the broad road that leads to death. Yeah. And lieth in wait at every corner. These people who do not respect the word, who are members of the harlot, They're waiting to trap you in their web. They're all being used of Satan to try to trap you. And all you got to do to defend yourself from is what this is said all the way through Proverbs, and that is put the word in your heart, obey the word of God, keep my commandments, he said. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, sacrifices of peace offerings are with me. Isn't that something? People that sin and think, well, I can just confess it and God will forgive me so they can go back and sin the next time, right? Oh, Lord, why do they think that God is stupid? You know? Their plan is not to repent. Their plan is to make some sacrifice and go right back to it. I remember when I was raised in the Catholic Church, all you had to do is you could sin all you wanted to, but you could go to the priest and confess it and you was okay. Hey, it's not something that's not in the daughters of that harlot either, you know. It's in the daughters too. Well, once saved, always saved. Very good example. Ultimate reconciliation, a very good example. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. They will diligently search you out to try to pervert your thinking, to try to put a seed in your mind that's the same kind of seed that perverted them. She said, I have spread my couch with carpets of tapestry, with striped cloths of the yarn of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the man is not at home. Oh, they don't think he's watching. He has gone on a long journey. That reminds me of Jesus' parable, how he gave out the talents and went on a long journey. Right? He hath taken a bag of money with him. Boy, he's the one that was giving out the talents. He's got the money, folks. We don't have to worry about that. He will come home at the full moon. And I thought, we'll see him in the man child first, and then, and that'll be when the woman is standing on the full moon, right? Ooh, very interesting. And that's in the Revelation chapter 12. With her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. You sit and listen to somebody like that, let them sow that stuff in your mind, and pretty soon a demon is in there, and you're gone. How can she stand around with much fair speech and somebody that's righteous sit there and listen to it? Be not deceived, right? Evil companionships corrupt good morals. With the flattering of her lips, she forceth him along. Yeah, his imagination is taking hold of lust. You know, something that feeds the flesh, right? He goeth after her straightway. Yep, he's gone. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, except he don't know that. He don't know he's being spiritually slaughtered. He don't know that his spiritual man is dying because he's gone away, which doesn't have no food for that spiritual man. It's food for the flesh. Like the old saying about the black dog and the white dog, right? Feed the black dog, he's going to whip the white dog. You feed the white dog, he's going to whip the black dog, right? The old thing. And it's true. That's in your life. You have to feed that spiritual man or he's going to lose the battle. Or as one in fetters to the correction of the fool. In other words, just like he's bound in fetters. And he won't take correction because now his flesh has gotten a hold of him, right? The demons have entered in. Till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. When you're looking at a trap, and you know it's a trap, and you give in to it, just remember, you're going to die for that. You can't walk in willful disobedience without dying a little bit every time you do it. and soon you won't turn back. There's a great falling away happening, saints. I don't know if you can see it. A great falling away happening. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and attend to the words of my mouth. That's always the cure. That's always the preservative, all the way through. You can see that. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Your heart, meaning your mind, your emotions, your desires, decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yeah, I would say more wounded than many know, who especially only understand the letter here. You know, people who only understand that this church or that church is the harlot, you know, and that there aren't members in their own church, and that they're not being tested and tempted. We're constantly being tested and tempted here. Even Jesus was tempted and tested before he could have authority to minister. He had to be tested. To him that overcometh will I give authority, the Lord said. To him that overcometh. Overcometh what? The testings and the temptations. You're constantly being tempted. And you're constantly either accepting the seed of Satan or the seed of Jesus Christ. Constantly it's happening. And how many times do you have to give in to Satan and his temptations and his words and his thoughts, which are his seed, until you don't have any seed of Christ left? Because the only thing you fed to maturity is the flesh. People are feeding their flesh and not their spiritual man. There is no eternal life for the flesh. If you feed the flesh and he overcomes the spiritual man, you don't have eternal life. It is the spiritual man that has eternal life. He was the one that was created for the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, he has to be the one that you feed with the right seed, the Word of God. You put the right seed in, you're going to get the right fruit out. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. Sow unto yourselves in righteousness. Sow the Word of God in your heart. Don't sit in front of that tube. Sow the Word of God in your heart. Don't feed your flesh. You'll die. I know religions automatically make themselves immune to that by their foolish doctrines. But the truth is, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. We came here to die. If the outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed. But if the outer man isn't dying, your inner man's not growing. They both occupy the same territory here. It's only one life that you've got here. You have to feed the spiritual man. And her house is the way to Sheol, the way to the dead, right? Going down to the chambers of death. Oh, boy. You see, people don't just fall away in a moment. Something has been entering into their life to cause their flesh to overcome their spiritual man. People don't just fall away. God cleansed us of people that came here who were hiding sins and other things. They didn't fall away in a moment. It was a good thing that God delivered us of the leaven. But they didn't fall away in a moment. It was a process. The enemy was testing them, trying them, tempting them. Jesus was tempted, but he kept casting it down. He was our example. Everybody's going to be tempted. Everybody's going to be tested. But you have to cast it down. How do we win this battle? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's contrary to the knowledge or the Word of God is death. If you feed your life with that, you will not be spiritual. You'll be carnal. And we're called. We're called to walk in the steps of our Lord. Let everyone that says they abide in Him walk as He walked. If you say you're abiding in him, walk as he walked. And how did he walk? Well, one thing, he walked to his cross. Right? He walked to his cross. And the things he did, he saw of his Father. I do always those things I see of my Father, he said. So we can walk after the flesh, or we can walk after the Spirit. And if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. But if you walk after the flesh, you must die. I'm sorry that most religion teaches differently. But that's the harlot. Anything that's contrary to the Word, that appeals to the flesh, appeals to your lusts, that's the harlot. If you put that stuff in you, you are a member of the harlot. It's very simple. Don't say, because I never went to such and such a church, I'm not a member of the harlot. That's ridiculous. You're permitting yourself to be trapped in the harlot's web, that body of the harlot that's in the earth. It's a spiritual body. It's not a physical body. It's not a building. It's not a religion, you know. Of course, religions that teach people those things and give into those, and they give into those things because they like fleshly lusts, they're members of it, obviously. And Bill said, after this revelation was given to him, which I think was not just for him, it was given to him to give to us. It was a revelation for the people of God, you know. He said, I'm praying for obedience and discernment over the plans of the enemy. And I'm wanting to get this right and fully rest in faith and obedience to the Word. Well, amen. That is safety, is faith and obedience to the Word. As I've said so many times, if you've got faith towards God, you will obey the Word. Faith without works is dead. In other words, a dead faith, does not have works. A dead faith says you believe something, but you can't have the fruit of it. That's ridiculous. That's not what the Lord said. Some people say all the time, well, I believe God, but this didn't happen. No, it didn't. Jesus never said that. He said the very opposite of that. He said, if you believed, you would have. In every instance. So what they're calling belief is mental assent. It's not faith. So truly, our works are born of our faith, because they're not our works. They're God's works. Your works, the works of the flesh, those are born of Satan, and they're from beneath, as Jesus said. So I commend Bill for praying for obedience and discernment so that he wouldn't give in any way to these spirits that promote the harlot. Because just like the beast comes from the pit and is a corporate body of demon spirits that enter into mankind, which is the body of the beast on the earth, so Christ himself from heaven, there from beneath, Christ himself from heaven comes from heaven into our hearts through the Word of God, and we become his body on the earth. Oh, praise be to God. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Undeserving. That's what we are. Well, saints, be careful. The harlot is always near, because that's part of our testing and our temptation. And be careful, because God is separating in these days quicker than I've ever seen in the last 40 years. God do things. And some of it seems quite ruthless. But if put yourself in God's shoes, you know, he said you can't ride the fence. You can't be lukewarm. He's got to thump you off on one side or the other, right? And he doesn't want to judge people on the fence. And so people do. They're going to fall on one side or the other. But the Lord would rather that we were hot or cold. It's easy to judge hot and cold, but being lukewarm, it's less pleasant, you know. Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are asking you to have mercy upon your servants, O Lord. Grant grace for them and all of us to recognize the harlot when we see one. And recognize when a person has no respect for your word. And Lord, we pray that through the temptations, your people will be preserved, as that 17 Revelation, preserved through all these trials and tribulations in order to come into your kingdom. Like Joseph was preserved even when his brethren sold him into bondage. Like Jesus was preserved even when his brethren sold him into bondage, etc., etc. You know, Lord, you want better for us, and Lord, we desire and we ask you to bless us with a willing heart, with righteousness and purity and truth. We ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon your people in these days. Lord, you've told us that the disobedient and those that persecute your people are going under the beast to be crucified in flesh. And Lord, we know that's necessary. And we're just thanking you, Father, for working all things together for our good. Hallelujah. Amen.